Hello, Podzilla 1985 fans. Normally, this is the part of the show where we play a clip from the film before the jazzy intro hits, but seeing as the movie we're reviewing tonight has no dialogue, we got nothing. So, hit the music. Travels through a nightmare underworld of tortured souls, ruined cities, and wretched monstrosities forged from the primordial horrors of the unconscious mind of Phil Tippett, the world's preeminent stop-motion animator. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not often on Extras and Epilogues where we review a film so iconic, so memorable, that we'll be talking about it for years to come. Tonight is one of those films, as Extras and Epilogues reviews Phil Tippett's stop-motion masterpiece, Mad God. The theater is open once again, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Shannon Young. Let me introduce to you my co-host for the evening. First off, of course, Hunter Hendricks, the third. Classy tonight.
Yeah, you know what's funny is technically that's right, because a lot of people don't know I go by my middle name.
Yep.
We have another Hunter on the show. Steven's middle name is Hunter, and yep. In his life outside of this, he goes by Hunter. But yeah, my dad's name, or my grandpa's name on my dad's side, is Albert Hunter, and my dad's name is Mark Hunter. So technically
Hendricks the third.
I am Hunter Hendricks the third. That's true.
Classy name for a classy episode. We also have with us tonight Lindsay Wolfgonging Brow.
What?
Why did you have to try to make it more German?
Lindsay Wolfgong.
Seriously. What was the goal there?
Like, I mean, if was you want to be that,
not
if
German
you want
enough for
it to
you?
Be Wolfgong. that close, if you go back to like the original pronunciation, it's like Wolfgonk or something like that. It's real harsh and rough, and I don't
Wolf
like it.
Gonk.
It's like Wolfgonk. It's like it's got a weird
Wolfgonk.
that's you're getting a little away from German and closer to Russian at that point when you start hing everything.
Yeah, l'chaim.
And I have a cat.
Cat. You have a cat that's trying to grab your face.
That cat will rip your face off of your face.
I
really wish you would stop holding that cat so close to your face, because she is going to scratch you.
I'm looking at this cat's mouth.
That
and
cat
it is
always
silly time over there right now.
Oh, it's pissy. That cat's always mad. That cat is an issue. Anyway, tonight's episode, this is going to be a record for tonight's episode, because I guarantee you tonight's episode of Extras and Epilogues will be the shortest episode we've ever done.
It might only be 15 minutes.
It might have to be.
I will be surprised if we clock
in
at
20
minutes.
The script
was only
12 pages, so...
So what are we talking about?
I was guessing between 15 and 20.
We're talking about the film Mad God. This is... So originally for Animation April, we were going to watch Elemental. I don't want to watch Elemental. I put my foot down and I said, let me pick one. And
I agreed. And I'm regretting that choice.
I went through my mental Rolodex of animated films I wanted to watch. I thought maybe Heavy Metal. Heavy Metal's a great film. Lindsay hasn't seen that. But I thought, you know, what's one I haven't seen? I want us all to come into this fresh. I had always wanted to watch Mad God. It looked incredible in the trailers. It looked like a real visual treat. And it's also borderline horror. I wouldn't say borderline horror. It is horror. It is horror. There's some horrific things in there.
It's meant to be a horror movie, yes.
Yeah. And so I thought, let's do that. That sounds like that's interesting. I can kind of bring Hunter and Lindsay into my world a little bit more. Lindsay obviously knows about it, my world. But Hunter, you know, doesn't watch a lot of the same films that I do. There have been a lot of films on this show that I have talked him into watching for this show. Fateful Findings, Tokyo Gore Police, stuff that is outside of his, you know, normal comfort zone.
So far, you're not
league.
Winning him over.
Oh no, I think this movie
like
makes
it all.
I think this movie makes Tokyo Gore Police look like a goddamn Citizen Kane. But we'll get to that here in a second.
He's right.
spoiler alert. So I talked everybody into watching Mad God because I thought it looked really interesting. And I remember Bob talking about it, and I thought Bob had spoken very highly of it. Turns out midway through the film, I text Bob and I go, "What'd you think of Mad God?" And he was like, "I didn't like it." And I went, "Shit."
I rolled
the dice and I was wrong.
It is visually
impressive
think that you're gonna
is the word you're looking
something
for.
Out of it, yes, because it's super detailed.
Yes.
It's animated very well. That's about all it's got going for
it. I'm drinking.
That's the nicest thing we're going to say about
Hunter is also drinking.
That's correct.
Yes, we're drinking.
Only one without alcohol.
So let's get to the stats real quick. Released on June 16th, 2022, but 30 years in the making. This was a passion project for Phil Tippett.
Yes.
30 years in the making. That alone, I think, is commendable.
Well, see, here's the thing that I have a problem with when it comes to that story. Yeah, because I have it in the notes written this way. It's more than 30 years, technically, but he started working on it in the late 80s after making RoboCop 2. He was one of the lead animators on RoboCop 2. When he started working on Jurassic Park and CG animation took off, because Jurassic Park, of course, at the time was not just the benchmark, it was the future of what animation was going to look like in terms of big blockbuster movies. Phil Tippett took one look at what they were doing on Jurassic Park and went, this is it. Stop motion is dead. There's no way it's coming back. This is going to take over, and that's all it's going to be. And he was right in a way. Obviously, we've all come around to appreciate other art forms and go back to stop motion and some things and et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, so he put it on the shelf for a long time. So I don't have a full timeline. I don't know when he picked it back up. What I do know is that when people kind of found out about its existence and he got, you know, people kind of urging him to do it, he started a Kickstarter campaign and that allowed him to finish the movie. So when we say more than 30 years in the making,
he didn't work on it for 30 years. Right.
It wasn't every day he was like making one little move on a creature and then taking a picture.
He's the only one that made the film.
This wasn't a thief in the cobbler situation where one individual was literally animating everything over the years when he had time, and that's a whole other can of worms to go into.
That's
actual Cobbler and the Thief and not what it ended up becoming.
He also had film students. Phil Tippett had film students working with him. So they talk about specific shots in the movie that, you know, some of them made, it was six of them who worked on one scene for over the course of 3 years on Saturdays when they had free time to help.
Which is wild.
So, again, he directed it, he wrote it, he produced it, and he did do a lot of the animation himself, but he also had a lot of help and spent a lot of time just figuring out how to make it work.
As mentioned by Hunter a second ago, written, directed, and produced by Phil Tippett, who also worked on, as we said, Jurassic Park, Star Wars, RoboCop.
Worked on Return of the Jedi. Yeah.
Some of the biggest and best titles of the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, if you look at, if I remember correctly, so Return of the Jedi, it features a couple of stop-motion ATSTs. The Rancor as well. He does it. So there's an ATST that stumbles and falls. They had to have him do that as well. So he did some fairly impressive stuff for that time frame, and he has a crazy resume.
Yeah, and let me say this now, get it out of the way. I prefer practical effects. Always have, always will.
Sure. Absolutely.
I don't hate CG. I think when CG is done right, it can bring a whole new medium that, you know, a whole new experience. Look at Godzilla. Everyone loves Godzilla in a rubber suit. I do too. But I would also be lying to you if I didn't tell you that, you know, the newest Godzillas and of minus one weren't visually like much better. And it gives Godzilla way more personality. But I still prefer practical effects. Steven and I, you know, one of the many things we bonded over was our love of John Carpenter's The Thing and the practical effects that were in that. I did a whole video on it on our YouTube page that I never really advertised. So I prefer practical effects. I love the effects in this film. They're great. And Phil Tippett, I think there is a respect that I have for the effort and work put into this. It is a visually, even though it's not pretty, it is a gorgeous film on a technical level. And you can tell there's a lot of love that went into that. That is not to say the film is good.
The most gorgeous thing about this film is the fine details in the backgrounds
and
the machinery and armor and stuff.
Yeah.
And the lighting. The lighting in this entire film is fabulous. And with stop motion, that's something you have to be consistent on and be intentional with.
This is a gorgeous horror movie. It 100% is.
Yeah.
But is it good?
It also made me want to throw up a few times.
Runtime. starring Alex Cox as the last man. There is no dialogue in this film. Other than like a handful of little like noises. But for the most part, there's no actual dialogue.
Baby's crying.
Jesus Christ. And starring stop motion insanity. And the stop motion again. We could sit here. We could run for 30 minutes talking about how great the stop motion is, but like that would just be hiding the other problems with the film. You know what I mean? Like we'd be praising the one good thing about it and ignoring the bad things, and we have to be fair. Runtime of 83 minutes felt like 7 hours. Felt like I'm still watching it.
It's another thing I'll praise it on is that it's not longer than 83 minutes. Yeah. But I will discount it for being 83 minutes long in the first fucking place.
Yeah. So it's one of those movies. Yeah, you know the movies I'm talking about, listeners at home. The one where you're like, oh, it's an hour and 20 minutes. You look at your watch 20 hours later and it's still going. And you're like, how? That was this film.
It's suddenly June and you're like, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
This can't be right.
Budget versus box office, $150,000 versus $325,000. So it made money. And here's the crazy thing.
Importantly, those are thousands, not millions.
Not millions. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. True. This is not a million-dollar movie. This was something that was made by, again, mostly not even a studio, mostly a singular guy with help from his friends.
An independent art film.
And that's what it is. It's an independent experimental art film. That's exactly what it is. So those are impressive numbers, I think, for that. And here's the crazy thing. This is the part when Hunter and I were talking about the movie, and he was telling me about how much he hated the fact that the reviews were so positive. And I agreed with him because, like, I don't understand. Am I a bad film reviewer? Because this movie is critically loved. You're talking 91% critical reception on Rotten Tomatoes, 7.8 out of 10, 80% score on Metacritic. I read through some of the reviews and they were glowing. They were talking about what a masterpiece this is. And
I want to know what their criteria was, because if they are purely looking at film as film, if they are looking like shot for shot, lighting, composition, not necessarily looking for story. Because
that's not a movie. Myself.
Right, that's a moving picture book.
My argument really early on, that's not a movie. That's the problem. It's not.
That is an art exhibit, is what that is. Yes. That's not a film.
Yes. That's what my brain switched to partway through, is that I was doing film analysis.
This movie.
I was like back in college with all the weird ass shit they made me watch that I'm like, what the fuck is this?
This movie is a fantastic art exhibit. If I saw clips of this or a live version of this in a museum, I would be pulling everybody I know to it going, wow, look at this. Look at this. This is incredible.
But an art exhibit lasts exactly as long as you need it to, and then you move on.
Yes.
A movie says, here's exactly how long I need you to watch this to get everything out of it. And that's not how it works.
Maybe I'm a bad critic. But I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to like pretend it's anything that it's not. I hated this movie. I thought this it was boring. I don't understand. I said this after the fact, and I said it's going to be a short show because I don't know what to say about this film. There's no plot.
Right.
It's so visually enticing and so horrific and yet boring as dirt at the same time.
Nothing with it.
You have no engagement or attachment.
No attachment.
Exactly. And here's what bothers me is that I think this is a weird comparison, but follow me on this ride for a second. I think back to a movie like John Carter of Mars. You remember this thing coming out about a decade ago?
John Carter of Mars. Maybe.
Yeah. Based on a hugely popular classic novel.
Yeah.
Propped up by Disney, if I remember correctly, and a visual spectacle. I mean, it looks incredible. They pump so much money into it. They pull from a classic story, but it just had no substance. They did nothing with the script. It was just boring as all get out. That movie also looked incredible.
Yeah.
But no one gave a shit because as a movie, it sucked.
Yeah,
and that's what blows my mind here. So I was going to mention this earlier. Lindsay is asking about, I wonder what from the reviews, like what their criteria is. Let me give you a little taste of it because I told Shannon this specifically. This is what pissed me off the most. I'm looking at user reviews after the fact, and obviously a lot of it is most of the reviews are either 5 stars or 1 star. There's no in between. You love this thing, or there were a few here and there that were just like us. I don't get what everybody likes about this. I have no idea what I'm supposed to like about this. The lauding reviews often say it looks like it's a visual spectacle. It looks incredible. I respect the craft, etc. But this is the part that bothered me, and I'm just pulling I'm cherry picking some quotes here. It's cool that it doesn't just spoon feed you a story like so many other movies. Now you have to figure it out for yourself.
You're not.
That's one review. it's really vague and forces the viewer to contemplate life and what it and the movie are all about. Like abstract art come to life, it will mean so many different things to every viewer. No one has the same experience.
Sure.
But this is the one that drove me the most. This summed up every version of what pissed me off the most about this movie. It definitely has a really deep and powerful meaning. I just haven't figured it out yet. Five stars. So this person unironically said this is practically, literally a perfect movie, and I don't understand it. I don't get anything about it, but it's the best possible version of a movie there could be. Fuck yourself. That is the dumbest thing I have ever heard.
Like, for a while
Go ahead.
For a while, I was thinking, okay, maybe it's going on the notion that hell is a cycle, and it just keeps repeating itself over and over and over again. But even that debunked itself partway through the film because it stopped doing that. And it's like, yeah, there's so many things just trying to figure out as we are going through. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe this is their interpretation of Bosch's Garden of Earthly Delights, because this sure as hell looks like its interpretation of hell, but with more metal in it.
Yeah.
The thing that drives me so crazy about this is that, and Shannon, you and I also kind of briefly talked about this, there are people who, if you tell them you don't like this movie, will pity you.
Yeah.
Will look at you and go, oh, man.
Oh, you didn't get it?
You just didn't get it. Oh, that sucks. You didn't get it. And they will never admit that they cannot explain it in a way that reasonably makes sense to everyone else. They might have a justification. They might come up with something. Lindsay came up with a version of a story there that, you know, again, it follows for at least a little bit. Whatever they tell you is what they're going to tell you is right. And I imagine Phil Tippett is the kind of guy who probably talks about his own movie this way too. And if you go, well, that doesn't make sense to me because I watched it and I didn't get that from it. Oh, you just didn't get it then.
Right.
No. Fuck yourself.
Everything.
Because this movie... as visual a spectacle as it might be, this movie has no discernible plot that you can follow.
Yeah, everything
things happen.
Everything is open to interpretation. And I got the same.
Sure.
I got the same response at the end of, or I got the same feeling at the end of, this is the cycle of life over and over again. I got that. I think that's the message they were going for. But just because you have a good idea and impressive visuals doesn't mean the movie's good or the story's good. There is no story. I liken this to something like Elden Ring. Elden Ring for me was a spectacle. It was gorgeous. It had a story, but the story was something you had to draw out. It was extremely vague. But at least
it was there. It was followable. You just had to go looking for it.
There was a basic outline of these are the Elden, you know, whatevers,
right.
And you're trying to take it over. This movie didn't have any of that. It starts with the assassin going down into the pits of, I guess, hell, trying to blow something up. I guess he's trying to blow up hell. Just to give you an idea, if you never watched it, he goes down here, he sees all these creatures, he sees all these things that make no sense. Now, you could say this is the literal hell, and that's why there's no explanation for the things that you see, because it's hell and it's nightmares. And sure, I guess you could say that. There's a part where there are giant men being electrocuted while they empty their bowels into a funnel, which goes into a monster's mouth and he eats it. Sure, that's hell. Why not?
Sure.
What is he trying to do? Is he trying to blow up hell? Because he goes down there, he's got a bomb, he sees all this weird shit, he goes to set the bomb, he doesn't see the creature grab him from behind, the bomb ticks down to it's going to explode, and then it stops for some reason. They then show the assassin being stripped of his skin. Then a doctor comes in, cuts him open, starts pulling out his organs and jewelry and trinkets, and then pulls out a larva baby creature thing, which, spoiler alert, they give to a floating monster thing that carries it to an alchemist, I've read, who then grinds it into dust, which the dust is then given back to the creature, who throws it into the air, which then creates life again and restarts the cycle. What the fuck does any of that have to do with anything else? It is a series of ideas thrown together with the basic idea of a film. And maybe I'm a bad reviewer, or maybe sometimes even I get tired of the elitist uppity motherfuckers who will say that's perfect because they laugh that no one else gets it. Motherfucker, you don't get it. You are pretending to get it because it makes you sound more intelligent.
Exactly. This is the most pretentious, up its own ass, insists upon itself thing I've ever fucking seen. And the thing that irritates me the most about it is that it's not even, again, from a visual standpoint, great. It's impressive. Like I can, just like you guys said, I can acquiesce to it's an impressive piece of art. But when you then go, no, it's this. And I go, but it's not, because it doesn't have the components that it needs to be a film, a followable film with a story. It doesn't even need to have dialogue. I wasn't mad that it didn't have dialogue. Lots of great classic movies don't have dialogue or have very little dialogue. That's fine. But I need to be able to follow your fucking story.
Yeah, Hunter.
And it's not here. It doesn't exist. This is an 83-minute Tool video without the music.
One of the biggest complaints you had of the Mario Brothers film, which I gave, if I remember correctly, I gave two thumbs up because I love that movie. But one of the biggest, and you did not like it.
We didn't review that.
One of the, what's that?
We didn't review that here. I mean, you might have used that rating system, but we didn't do that on the show.
We did. It was an episode without you. It was me, Lindsay, and Ethan, and somebody else, if I remember correctly. It's one, right? Am I crazy? Lindsay, we did review it, didn't we?
You've only done one thing without me, and that was Godzilla Minus One.
Am I crazy? I thought we reviewed Mario.
Maybe we did it. Maybe we did it right now.
Well, point is,
have just talked about it there, but yeah.
I don't want to turn this into Steven and Jesse talking about what shows are coming out next. And my point is,
I mean, I'm looking at the list. We didn't do it. So
one of your criticisms of it, though, was that, and maybe it was just us talking, but one of your criticisms was that, you know, you like a movie where there is a plot, there's a lesson learned, characters change, et cetera, et cetera. Mario had the bare essentials of that, where you have characters who you could go, well, they kind of learned a lesson. What was in this? There was nothing in this.
So I want to be really clear. I don't necessarily need someone to, because I'm pulling a lot of this from my day job, and that's as much as I'm going to say about that. I don't necessarily need somebody to learn a lesson, but I do need the word you're looking for is theme. I need there to be a theme.
Okay.
There's a difference between a topic and a theme in narrative. Topics are like one or two words that give you an overall idea. You could probably say that this is about death.
Yeah.
That's a fair thing to say, because there's a lot of death.
Yeah.
Sure, exactly. Death is a very overarching topic. Love, life, those things are topics. Themes are what the story has to say about that topic.
Right.
A lot of times they're like cliche phrases. So, Lindsay will probably know what I'm talking about. Lindsay, there's a Pixar short, and I forget what movie it aired before. A magician with a bunny rabbit, and he doesn't feed him his carrot. And
yeah,
it's called Presto. Yeah.
Presto.
So,
yeah.
Presto is one that I use for an example when I'm talking about this with my coworkers. And we talk about how the topics of that are things like friendship and cooperation. And then, you know, a great theme for that is like teamwork makes the dream work, right? Like when these two work together, they actually get what they want instead of trying to be at odds with each other. The Mario Brothers movie has lots of just sort of overall topics and a very general theme of like, you know,
good versus evil.
Companionship. Yeah, good versus evil. And again, what I said at that time, and I don't want to turn this into the Mario Brothers show, although I guess we need to do one because we didn't, was generally just that a lot of the people who were fighting back against attraction of that movie were saying, oh, it's a kid's movie. Like, it's kind of meant for kids, and it doesn't need to be all that serious. Or it's based on a video game. Like, it doesn't have that much. And my argument always is, it's a movie, which means I don't give a shit what it was based on. A movie needs a story. It needs something I can follow. It has to make sense. And kids deserve a better class of entertainment. Kids deserve a story that has a theme and has not necessarily something to learn at the end, but something you can point to and go, wow, I can see. Exactly. I can see some growth. I can see what happened there.
Something that doesn't dumb it down for them.
Exactly. So I was critical of it on that front. But again, there were things I liked about it, too. I can tell you just off the top of my head, I would give that movie probably a single thumb down. I didn't hate it. I have no interest in watching it again. It wasn't. I don't know. You might talk me into an up and down. You know, it was kind of fun because I liked the characters because I knew them already. But the story just didn't do anything for me.
Yeah.
Anyway, this movie.
Right.
Mad God.
Yes.
Bill Tippett.
Yes.
Nothing. It has nothing.
Nothing.
It teaches me nothing. The characters learn nothing because we don't know who any of them are. There are no central characters to follow. You call it the assassin, but then he's dead for half the movie.
Right. And he didn't assassinate anybody. It should have been called.
He didn't accomplish that.
Yeah, he didn't accomplish.
Yeah, bomb.
I get that the idea. There's a part later on where you see people like spray painting the anarchy sign on a wall. And I was like, okay, I guess this is a anti-establishment, look at, you know, we're rebelling and war, and then there's all the scenes with the tanks. I kind of I think I get what you're trying to say, but that doesn't make it good. Just because you make it vague doesn't make it more interesting. Right. It just makes it vague.
One of those reviews said that, you know, I don't like being spoon-fed my story. Neither do I. But I do need you to give me the spoon.
Yeah.
I need something to work with.
Let me feed myself. This movie...
Right. Give me a fork.
You can't put the food across the room and handcuff me to the wall and then go eat. I can't do that. I can't reach it. I don't have enough to work with here.
That's
what bothered me about this so much.
I jokingly said earlier that we watched The Point, that the point is everything has a point. This does not feel like it has a point.
Except for this.
This and
you're damn right.
I almost feel bad. I don't feel bad, but I almost feel bad for Phil Tippett on something like this, because if this was a labor of love of his, I don't want to shit all over it and say you did a bad job. You are a effects guy. And your effects are incredible.
Yes.
And he himself admits that there was no real plot. There was this is an experimental film. And like, it's not everybody's cup of tea. I'm sure there are people who legitimately did love it. I'm not one of them. I thought it was poorly done. I thought the visuals were great, if not grotesque.
Yes.
And if it had just been that, if it had been simpler, I think it would have been better, but you tried to cram so many different things into it with no understanding of what any of it is, that all it does is create an hour and a half of confusion and honestly irritation as you try to figure it out.
Imagine this. Okay. Imagine this story with an actual story, even if it's just a narrator overlaying the story of sort of what's going on, or just some internal monologue from that character, from a character here and there, just giving us an idea of what it is that we are seeing. Because again, it blows my mind that somebody can legitimately, earnestly say that we're supposed to just be able to figure out what's happening here, and at the same time praise these amazing, fantastic, grotesque creatures. I don't have any anchor in the real world for what any of the things in this movie are. So how am I supposed to know what they're thinking? You can get away with that with things that follow real world abstracts, where I can just kind of figure out when I see somebody in a fireman uniform and I see them running, I could probably figure out without you telling me what it is they're going to do.
Yeah.
Right. But when I, like you said, when I see a bizarre shit eating creature, what am I supposed to do with that? I don't know what that thing is thinking. I don't know what it does, how it exists. I got nothing. I have no frame of reference for this.
I think
you can't make me the stranger in a strange land without giving me a character that serves as a self-insert.
The moment I gave up on it officially, that I finally just, I checked out and went, okay, this is bad. There's a part where the assassin is traveling through the bowels of hell. He sees a creature like strapped down to a gurney who looks over at him sadly and whimpers. And then he looks in the room and there's all these other creatures. There's like a baby doll. A doll that's masturbating from the looks of it. And then she looks up at him and the other thing looks at him sadly and he closes the door and they all look sad. And I'm like, was that supposed to elicit a sad reaction from me for things
what are
that
you
I,
supposed to be, what, yeah.
I don't know who like they what? Are. I don't know what they're going through. Are you telling me these things are in hell and they're being punished and he's looking away?
Right.
Okay, well, goddamn. Is it too much to ask? Yeah, that you give a basic fucking outline? I read one review that said...
Sorry, real quick, before you get into that, because this is the thought I was going to finish earlier. Imagine this, but as a series of shorts released online, not as a full movie. Maybe eventually you could put them together, you know, like once a week, once a month, something like that. Like 10-minute shorts with some narrative and some dialogue, or at least some exposition of what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
You're doing
that would be super impressive.
Just a black screen with like a word text.
Something.
Like a theme.
Anything.
Something.
Yeah. And they tried to do the thing at the beginning where they do the very biblical sounding, you know, it sounds like they're going for a heaven and healthy.
Bring wrath on you for not doing what we wish, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
The thing that I saw explained that the story is basically the last man on earth, who is, I guess, the guy with the claw fingers, the fingernails, long fingernails, gets maps from these witches on flesh, and that he sends the assassin down to try to, like, restart something. I don't know. Even as I'm saying it, it doesn't make any sense. How is he the last guy on earth? Why does he have long fingernails? Why is this? Why is that? Like,
these creatures that he's sending down if he's the last man?
What are they? Are they human? No. Because there's a part where they cut him wide open and pull trinkets and money out of him and jewels and a larva.
Yeah.
And then he's still alive even after all that. Like, none of it makes any sense. It is a feast for the eyes, and it is poison for the brain. It is... it's nothing. It is like the most beautiful painting you've ever seen that has nothing actually painted on it. I don't know.
It'll kill you the longer you look at it.
It's bad. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm not smart enough for this film. But...
No.
I refuse to acquiesce
to that. You've said it a couple of times, like maybe I'm just a bad reviewer. I don't think we are. I think you take away what you take away from something, and neither of us are stupid people.
No.
Like, frankly, that I just refuse to accept that.
I'm not a stupid fucking idiot.
I should say none of us.
The three of us are stupid things
at times, but yeah, I don't think we're stupid.
No, and I don't think that this is so... I have yet to come across anything that is so elevated that even when it's like sort of broken down that I can't understand it. I've definitely come across things that I went, that's a little above my pay grade, man. Even at this point, even at almost 40, even going through the academia I've gone through, I don't quite get what's happening here. Break it down in simpler terms for me.
Yeah.
I've yet to see this broken down in a way that makes me go, now I get it.
Now I get it, yeah.
No, I still don't get what you're trying to say. How I was supposed to get what you're telling me from what I saw.
So,
again, there's no frame of reference for the real world. So how am I supposed to interpret what you put on the screen as that?
Not to bring it back to Tokyo Gore Police, as I always do, but
I'm writing it on your tombstone at this point. Not to bring it back to Tokyo Gore Police.
Tokyo Gore Police is not a great film, and I said that when we reviewed it. But it had a charm to it. It had a plot. It had so many things that this film is missing.
It had a plot, and I'll give you that.
It had a little plot of charm,
but it had a plot.
And this is where I feel kind of, I don't know, like maybe I'm just not getting it. But like I have an appreciation for gore. I have an appreciation for the horrific things. In Tokyo Gore Police, there's parts where a guy gets his legs chopped off. He then uses the stumps. He jets across the sky. And like I laughed and went, that's ridiculous. I kind of love it. It's so stupid. This movie actually has creatures that would frighten me if I was a kid. Like there is some horrific shit in this movie.
Yes.
But it's
I'm
so boring.
I didn't have nightmares last night, in all honesty. Or the fact that while I was falling asleep during the film that I wasn't having nightmares.
But it's so boring. And it's
so boring.
It's without charm. It's without humor. Tokyo Gore Police, again, had a sense of humor. It may not have registered with you, and you might not have liked it, but it was there.
Yeah.
This movie is humorless. It's plotless. But so much work and love went into it. I feel so divided. But... we're not talking about it anymore. We can sit here and bitch about this movie all day. This is the shortest episode ever. We're jumping right now into the review. I was originally going to give this film one thumb down because I said I respected the visuals of it so much. I respected this. And Hunter talked to me about it. And actually, I came to respect his view on it of you're a movie reviewer. You're reviewing a film. You're not reviewing, you know, just a visual. And it's
the respect for someone's work. You can respect someone's work and still not necessarily like the work itself,
right,
or think that it has merit.
Because I'm reviewing this as a film. I review Tokyo Gore Police as a film. And as a film, I thought it was silly but charming. And I appreciated some of the effects on it. When we reviewed Fateful Findings, I gave it 2 thumbs down, but I at least acknowledge the fact that it had some basic elements of a film.
Absolutely.
This had none of that. This was the most contrived, try hard. I don't know. I don't want to insult it too much because, again, I do respect what he did that I thought was cool. But as a film, this movie missed almost every mark. As a film, it's terrible. I'm sorry. You may disagree with me, and I'm not talking about the guys here. I'm talking about you, the listener. This is a terrible film. This is a bad film. This is a great experiment. This is a great art project. This is a terrible film. 2 thumbs down from me.
Yeah, exactly the same. I mean, I respect the hustle. I really do. Phil Tippett is, in fact, I mean, it's in the description there. He is the preeminent stop motion animator. I mean, Phil Tippett is incredible at what he does. It's a shame then that he didn't, if he really wanted this to be something, he didn't bring in some actual directors. He didn't bring in some actual writers, people who could turn this into a real project. And I say it's a shame. Maybe he didn't want that. Maybe that's not what he wanted. Maybe Phil just wanted to get a vision. This is the thing I've been working on. I had a vision. I wanted to get it out there. I'm putting it out the way it is, like it or don't. I mean, again, for many, many years, he decided he didn't want to do that. And apparently it took a Kickstarter campaign from people going, no, we want to see this, for him to get it finished. It is what it is then at that point. And once it's out there, there's not really much you could do about that. But I agree on all counts. This barely qualifies as a film to me. It qualifies as an experiment. It's a test subject. It is a proof of concept. From all of those standpoints, it's great. If all you want to see is some incredible stop motion animation, go nuts. I think you could watch this movie on mute and get as much out of it as you could otherwise. And 100%. That to me tells me it's not a good movie. Right. Because it completely lacks at least half of what a movie needs to be a movie, which is a coherent story and something I can follow that isn't just the visuals that I'm seeing. You could turn this movie on at any point in time and get exactly as much out of it as you will from watching it literally from minute one to minute end. Yeah. And that just, to me, that it almost disqualifies it. Like, I almost don't even want to give it two thumbs down because it feels like it doesn't fall correctly on the scale. But because somebody somewhere said, this is a coherent film, it has a beginning, it has an end, and we're going to release it, even though we're not going to rate it, which I think is weird, then it's two thumbs down. This is my least favorite thing that we've watched. And I mean that. And I know that sounds super harsh because I know that you know, like you said, Space Jam, the New Legacy might not be the worst movie that we've seen, but it was your most hated thing.
It was.
I hated this more than that.
It was. I was going to, I'm glad you brought that up because this has replaced Space Jam as my most hated film. Space Jam at least had a plot and there were certain things that I went, oh, that's fun. Other than the fact
Don Cheadle was having a great fucking time, and so was I watching Don Cheadle, even if the movie wasn't good.
Right, but it was a movie. That gives it so much more qualifications than this film. Yeah, this film is it's the thing I've had. I'm shocked because I had a lot of high hopes for this movie. I was going into this really anticipating something unique, and I got that, but. Yeah, not in the way I wanted. This is my least favorite film we've watched so far. Lindsay, what do you think?
Well, seeing that I had to watch all kinds of stuff like this in school and analyze it and things that way, like I said, I went into film analyzation mode partway through it, but that's me more looking at the technical end. And I'm very torn on this also because, like, originally coming in, I was thinking, okay, I don't feel like I can really give this a rating, so I'll just stick it down the middle. But again, if we're going by what is a film, like, again, there's no story, there's no attachment. It really is just an art piece, and that's not necessarily what one considers film. And seeing that I've had to go through my stupid 20th century art, which includes film and experimental stuff, like, this is on the level with some of the crap Andy Warhol put out that I had to sit and watch. Or I forget who the filmmaker was that we had to watch a video that was literally just a couple sleeping for 3 hours. Like, I don't like experimental film. And this falls into the category of experimental and art. And it drives me insane. I want to appreciate what it does and the medium that it is done in. But in the long run, I don't want to recommend this to anybody to watch unless they want to do some sort of art analysis, and that's about it. So I'm also going with two thumbs down.
Yeah. This is a very divisive movie for me because as we talk about it more and more, the more I think, like, well, what is the separation between art and film? You can make arguments. And no one will argue this with us because we know our fans, but you could try. Someone could tell us that we are absolutely wrong on this. We're idiots. We didn't get it. And his name is Kaz, if you ever watched it. But until that day happens, that's what we're giving it. Now, this is normally the part of the show where we do the epilogues. I'm not going to.
No.
I'm not either.
How can
I? I have no idea how to do it.
Right.
How can I follow this up? The only effective thing I could say here is exactly what Lindsay said early on. If there had been some link to it, turns out this thing just keeps happening. This is the cycle that keeps going on.
Maybe someone could break the cycle.
That's your epilogue, exactly. Yeah. But because the movie refuses to do that, because it refuses to have a stance on anything about what its story is, I can't do that. Yeah. Again, you have not given me the tools to do what I need to do in terms of reviewing or enjoying right. or anything regarding this film.
Even by the own basis of this film, if it's cyclical, then the same movie just replays eternally.
Right.
There's nothing to add. Exactly. Except maybe if they wanted to adapt this into a actual film, you could potentially
you
tell
just
a good
have
story.
A grosser version of Run Lola Run.
Some of my favorite movies are about hell.
God, I really want to see that.
Some of my favorite films.
We watched. Is it Spanish? Is that what it's originally in?
Is that the one with Sailor Jupiter in it?
I don't know.
It was on that list that when we were doing the movies from that book
it's
that
like
I read
Rent
last summer.
Something like that is what the original film title is.
I think it might be German.
We watched it in its original form in my film class. I just remember that. And I liked it, but it very much was that repetition type thing. And that's why we watched it was for
yeah. It was like a video game. Like he has a certain or she has a certain number of lives. And it's like you can only do this so many times before you're out of options. Yeah, it was on that list of from that book, the best movie year ever is from 99. And one of those things that people are like, hey, you got to see that. And I would love to. I've not found a good way to do that yet, but.
Or watch Groundhog Day. Same thing.
That's also a good one. If that's what you want, then watch that.
Yeah.
It's right there, you dummy.
This movie, I got nothing else to say about it. That's it. We're going to call it there.
No.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you expected more. I can't give you more. I can't give you more because they didn't give
we
me more.
You're
apologizing
more
to us
week.
For picking it.
Yeah. I've picked a lot of bad films for this show.
Look. I don't think any of us should ever have to apologize for anything that we pick for this show because one way or another we have done something. We've experienced something. I'm not happy for having watched the movie, but I can I can say that I've done it and it sucked and I can talk about that.
Look at it also though, look at it from like my point of view. Here is a visually enticing horror film that looks like real horror, not this watered down horror. These are grotesque monsters doing grotesque things. All the reviews are 5 stars and 2 thumbs up, and this is an amazing film. Of course I'm going to pick it. And then I watch it and go, it's crusty. I'm pulling that cigarette out of my mouth going, what the hell was that? It's bad. All right, that's it. We're going to call this a two-parter because I posted plays earlier. I expected this to go a little bit shorter, a little longer. But since I didn't get to post it, consider this a two-part night because we had so little to say about this film other than bitch about it. We will be back this week with more episodes, though. Tomorrow, of course, is Thursday. We got After Dark. Important show note on Fridays, Horse Time is on hiatus. It's Horse Time hiatus. We're streaming. We're going to try some new things. Friday night will now turn into you tune into the stream, watch us play video games and drink, shoot the shit with us online. That's what we do. We might
even throw a little sketch, a little Horse Time sketch.
Might throw a little horse at you. We'll see.
We might do it. I did some work. I'm interested to see if we can make it happen.
Now, we will be back with Horse Time later on. We're just taking a break, have some fun. Why not?
Yeah.
So that's it. The balcony's close. Fuck this movie.
Oh.
And if that makes if that makes me a simpleton.
Can we preview next week, which is a good movie?
And I'll go drag my knuckles on the fucking pavement because I'm a Neanderthal that doesn't understand fine film, then fine. I'll take that hit.
We do have one more Animation April movie, and I am actually excited about this one. So, Lindsay, tell them what.
What is it?
It is one of my favorite Studio Ghibli films by Hayao Miyazaki. It's not my absolute favorite, but it is one of my favorites. It's Howl's Moving Castle.
Fuck.
Shannon and I went and saw this in theaters when it originally came out, but I'm making him rewatch it as a refresher.
I deserve it.
So it's so good, though.
I've never seen it. I've heard nothing but good things about it.
Heard nothing but good things about Mad God.
Howl is voiced by Christian Bale.
the only thing I've ever seen in that vein is Kiki's Delivery Service.
That's my favorite. That one is my absolute favorite.
With Phil Hartman.
Kiki's Delivery Service. Yes.
And I think Kirsten Dunst? Is that Kirsten Dunst is in that?
Yep. Yeah. And Matthew Lawrence.
Sarah loves that movie. But we've never
haven't
watched it in years, and we never then went, oh, okay, we need to watch all the other things. So when you said, here's what we're doing, you gave me a list to pick from, and I'm like, well, Howl's Moving Castle is the one that I keep hearing about.
I wish I had picked Heavy Metal.
I do too. I do too.
Do that eventually because I would like to watch that.
Have you seen Heavy Metal, Hunter?
No, I've seen parts of it, but I've never seen it from like beginning.
I've seen like
it's
clips,
good,
and that's about it.
It's good. It's really good. Heavy Metal 2000 is also really good. I have a really bad pain in my finger right now, and that's better than Mad God. So, all right, that's it. Studio's closed. Balcony's closed. Everything's closed.
You were mad for watching it.
I was mad at God for watching this film. All right, that's all you get. I got nothing funny to say. No, let's bring Steven in here and let him say goodnight.
With Steven in.
Steven, we bitched about this show for 45 minutes and we're done. Tell everybody good night.
Good night, everybody.